praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. Today, we're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry, along with some of our own considerations. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, please enjoy today's program. He, therefore, who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit and does works of power among you, does he do it out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? Have you ever considered this word from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 in light of your own Christian experience? What is it to receive a bountiful supply of the Spirit? Many Christians today are even reluctant to talk about the Spirit. Yet it's clear from God's Word that He desires to supply us with the Spirit even bountifully. Receiving the supply of the Spirit is the focus of today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Ron Kangas is back with us today. Ron, this is a much misunderstood, maybe even debated topic, it seems, among believers. But is there really anything that can be more important to our going on in the Christian life?
No, because nothing is more important than God, and nothing is more important than Christ, and nothing is more important than the Spirit. Nothing is more important than the triune God actually experienced by us. The sad thing about the controversies over the Spirit or over certain truths related to the triune God is that those who engage in these controversies often care more for the doctrinal point than for God Himself. So we, in this message, in this subject, are concerned with a practical way of, after we have been born of God the Spirit, to continually receive God the Spirit. And that kind of receiving has a tremendous, and I use the word tremendous with deliberation, a tremendous effect on our daily Christian life.
Brother Ron, we have a life study message today, unfortunately, for which we don't have a usable portion of tape from Witness Lee today. This was recorded in a less formal setting than most of these life study messages were given, and the recording equipment and techniques were just not up to the standard that we could make this tape usable for broadcast. So we don't have his recorded portions today, but what we do have is the printed life study message that came from that spoken word, and that has been edited, and we're going to read a few excerpts from the printed life study message on today's program. Let's get underway maybe by spending a few minutes talking about being born of the Spirit. This is a common phrase, Ron. Sometimes born again could be interchanged to use a more common term. This can mean a lot of things to many different people. Maybe most people would say something like it's to have a new start, a new beginning, or turn over a new leaf. Do you think this is an adequate reflection of the real meaning?
It absolutely is not adequate. To be regenerated is to be born again, to be born from above, to be born of God, to be born of the Spirit. This is a matter involving the divine Spirit entering into our human spirit, enlivening our human spirit, and imparting to our human spirit the life and nature of God by which we are made actual, born children of God. This is quite different, isn't it, Chris, and much higher than turning over a new leaf, having a new start. This is a matter of having another life, the life of God, the life which God Himself is, dispensed into us, causing a particular part of us, our spirit, to be born of God, of the Spirit. Now we have, as the result of regeneration, the life and nature of God in our enlivened, regenerated human spirit, And as a result, we are actually children of God, and God actually is our Father, and we actually have the same life and nature that our Father has. This is arguably the greatest miracle in the realm of human and divine experience. This is the miracle of actually being born of God, to have the life of God, and to be a child of God with the prospect, according to the plan of God, to grow and develop into a mature son of God. This is the divine truth concerning regeneration. Let's drop this natural human concept of some kind of starting over or turning over a new leaf or having a new beginning. Let's turn to God and to the Word of God to see the truth. It's tremendous.
It really is, and I'm looking forward to our whole time together today. Normally, at this point in our program, we join Witness Lee for a short recorded portion, but as I mentioned earlier, we don't have that today, unfortunately. What we do have is this printed life study message that came out of those messages that were spoken in 1980. Let me read just a paragraph, Ron, and we'll use that somewhat as a replacement, though we'll have to look to the Lord to cover the shortage here. Now, he's speaking about this very same point that you ended on and how the common thought sometimes equates regeneration with the matter of cleansing related to the redeeming blood. So I just want to put this in context. There is no doubt that God's salvation includes cleansing by the redeeming blood of Christ. In a very real sense, we, the saved ones, have been cleansed by God. Being cleansed, however, is not the highlight of God's salvation. The highlight is that God has regenerated us, that He has actually imparted His life and nature into us to make us His sons. Now we are not God's sons in law. We are the sons of God in life. Certainly, there's no greater wonder in the whole universe than that sinful men, by being regenerated, can become sons of God. Many today are seeking wonders and miracles, but they do not realize that there is no greater miracle than regeneration. By regeneration, fallen people become sons of God. In His salvation, God has made us, fallen sinners, His divine sons. Quite a thought, Ron. The real significance of regeneration is that fallen, sinful men can actually become sons of God. I think I know the answer, especially based upon your introduction today, but let me ask it nonetheless. How literally should we understand this term, sons of God?
As literally as I understand the statement, the two sons of Ron Kangas, David and Philip, they are literal, actual, practical, born sons of mine. They're not symbolic sons. They're not adopted sons. They are not metaphorical sons. They are true, actual sons. The principle is the same with the sons of God. We are not adopted sons, if we understand adoption merely in the sense of a legal transaction that gives us a standing in God's family. We're not symbolic sons. We're not metaphorical sons. We are actual sons, born of God. An actual birth took place that makes us God's children. To be very accurate, we don't begin the Christian life as sons of God, but as children of God. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. But God's goal is not to have children, according to Ephesians 1. His goal is to have a multitude of actual regenerated sons. So once we make the matter clear, we should actually stop speaking about it and just dwell on the awesome fact and praise the Father for this marvelous fact that we are literal, actual, genuine, practical sons of God, born of God, and possessing the life and nature of God.
Ron, you used the word. I want to go back and just ask you about it briefly. I don't want to spend a lot of time. You contrasted the literal actual sonship that's presented here with the notion of adoption. Sometimes we hear this, and even some translations refer to this word. Can you clarify this for us?
There's a sense in which there is a legal process involved, in which, based upon God's righteousness, we have a proper legal standing with Him as part of His household. So we would not oppose the use of the term adoption if it's applied in this way, not to deny the scriptural truth that we are regenerated sons. Our problem is with those who teach wrongly that we're not actually born of God. We don't actually have the life and nature of God. We are merely adopted and given a legal standing in God's household without having the life and nature of God. We have both the legal standing and the life and nature of God because we are not only legal sons, we are enlivened, regenerated sons. This is a crucial truth in the Christian life experience, and we must earnestly contend for this aspect of the divine revelation.
Ron, as Witness Lee gave this message, his real focus was not regeneration as much as the matter of receiving the Spirit even after we're regenerated. Ron, why after receiving the Spirit initially to accomplish this regeneration, including redemption, why then is it necessary for us to continually receive the Spirit?
To stay alive as Christians, to maintain the fellowship in life, to have the supply of life. It's like asking, why does a newborn baby need to breathe? To stay alive, to have the life supply. Life requires continual dependence on the supply of life. Human life is a picture of this. Birth is the beginning. If this little one is to stay alive and grow in life, there must be a continual life supply. One does not drink all the time. One does not eat all the time. But one breathes all the time. The principle's the same in the spiritual life and in the Christian life. We're born of God. We have the life and nature of God. Now we're babies. We start out as babies. How can we maintain our spiritual existence? How can we grow in the divine life? We must have not only the life itself, we must also have the supply of life. So we drink the Spirit, we feed on the Lord in His Word, but in this message we're emphasizing being continually supplied with the Spirit. Because the vast majority of Christians do not know their need of this and do not see the light concerning this, actually and practically in their daily living, they are the living dead. They're living in the natural life, but are not moment by moment receiving and enjoying the supply of the divine life by continually receiving the Spirit. So I end as I began. Why do we need to continually receive the Spirit? To stay alive, to maintain our fellowship in life, to grow in life. We will never outgrow this. Even in the distant eternity when we have become glorified sons of God as components of the New Jerusalem, we will still need God the Spirit as our breath. We will forever be dependent on the continual supply of God the Spirit.
Ron, something always issues out of God's economy, and no doubt something as vital and as crucial as our receiving this continual supply of the Spirit must have an issue as well. What is the aim or the goal of this most cherished of all Christian experiences?
The aim must be understood not from our point of view, but from God's point of view. The aim is that God in Christ, as the Spirit, may work Himself into our entire being to make us His corporate expression. This is what we may call the central work of God. This is what Paul refers to in Ephesians 3:17 as Christ's making his home in our hearts. What we've just spoken about, God in Christ as the Spirit working himself into our being, is God's central work. This is God's eternal intention. This is the kernel of the divine revelation. So the issue of being born of the Spirit, to receive the Spirit continually, is that as the result of our continual receiving, there is an ongoing dispensing from our regenerated spirit, indwelt by the life-giving Spirit, an ongoing dispensing of the divine life into all the parts of our soul. And through that dispensing, God in Christ as the Spirit is saturating us with himself, permeating us with himself, constituting us with himself, building himself into us, working himself into our being, so that he will shine out from within us in glory, and in this way have his eternal, consummate, corporate expression. From our point of view, we need to receive the Spirit to maintain and develop our spiritual life. From God's point of view, he needs to continually supply the Spirit in order to work himself in Christ as the Spirit into us for the sake of his eternal corporate expression.
Ron, I want to go on this point, point of God's desire to work himself into us. From the life study message that we're covering today, and we're just summarizing it bit by bit really as we go, since we don't have Witness Lee's portions. He has a section in this message, somewhat an intriguing title, Two Gifts and Two Tragedies. Let me read just a bit here. God has given us two great gifts by which he works himself into us, the Spirit and the Word. These gifts are actually God himself. God is the Spirit, and God is also the Word. But if you consider church history, you will see that throughout the centuries, two great tragedies have taken place, one related to the Word and the other related to the Spirit. God's intention is that the Bible be used to impart himself as life into his chosen people, but many Christian teachers have neglected this proper use of the Bible and have taken the Bible only as a book of knowledge, not as a book of life for the divine impartation. Ron, what about church history? What does it show us related to these two great tragedies?
Division, confusion. That's what we see. Division caused by endless debates in the flesh and in the natural mind, resulting from taking the Word of God merely in letter and only as knowledge for mental stimulus. That's a tragedy. The Lord told the religious people in John 5, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me that you might have life." And in the following chapter, John 6:63, he said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." What a tragedy that many earnest believers would separate the Bible from God, separate it from Christ, separate it from the Spirit in the way they appropriate it. And so the Bible becomes, in their experience, a book of death, a book of killing letters. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Bible's a book of life. But tragically, many make it a book that brings in death because they take it in the wrong way. And that brings in division upon division. Christians meet one another. Instead of just rejoicing that they're fellow believers, they question one another about this point, about that point. Soon as the differences emerge, then there are contentions over doctrine. Different Bible verses are fired at one another, and the division continues. That's a tragedy. Then there's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. God is a God of peace. But some have an unprincipled or unbalanced understanding of the person and function of the Spirit and are undiscerning in the matter of the Spirit and may get in the flesh or may associate the Spirit with only the miraculous things. But many go much further and associate the Spirit with peculiar things, emphasizing so-called being slain in the Spirit, of all kinds of physical sensations that are attributed to the Spirit. And you read the Scriptures, you read the epistles, the Spirit is not presented in that way. The Spirit is our power for ministry economically. The Spirit is our life essentially, that we may live the Christian life. And so our heart aches that so many of the Lord's children are suffering the result of division on the one hand and confusion on the other hand, when in God's Word and in God, of course, there are no such things. We regard all the truths in the Bible. We believe all the statements of the Bible. We regard the Bible as divinely inspired word by word, but we do not separate it from the triune God, and we take it as the tree of life, as the life supply. And we believe and are open to receive all that the New Testament teaches concerning the Spirit of God. But we have to reject a lot of religious nonsense that leads to confusion, even to deception, because of a misunderstanding of the Spirit. We need to reread the Bible, and we need to test truth claims, and we need to test so-called experiences by the light in God's Word. I can say with a pure conscience in the Lord's presence that this ministry, which we are endeavoring to represent and transmit to God's people, is balanced concerning the Word and the Spirit. And we would invite our readers to get a copy of the Life Study and not read blindly, but read with a seeking spirit and with a clear and sober mind to examine these teachings and the experiences to which we testify in the light of the Scriptures. This is our invitation. It's not a challenge, it's an invitation, because we abhor the divisions and the confusion. And we just long that we would all receive life in the Word and have a normal experience of the Spirit in the body of Christ for God's eternal economy.
Well, Ron, we've talked a lot today about God's desire, His intention for us to receive the Spirit as a supply. Initially, it regenerates us, but ultimately, it has the goal of God Himself being worked into our being. Now, how about the practicality of this? Practically, Ron, just how do we believers appropriate this Spirit?
Pray without ceasing, by praying. The problem is, when we mention praying, we may have a religious notion. We may have a natural concept. We may think it's something formal. We may think we have to bow our heads and fold our hands or assume some other posture. But praying is organic. You know what I believe that verse, pray without ceasing, means, Chris? I believe it means pray without ceasing. Just what it says. The reason we can't understand it is that we don't have an organic and living view of prayer, but rather a formal and religious one. I can't sit here and claim that I've mastered this matter of praying without ceasing, but I've stopped trying to explain the verse away. And the best picture that I can think of is breathing. That wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can inwardly exercise our regenerated spirit to breathe in God the Spirit in a normal, almost unnoticeable way. It's barely conscious at times. But we need to be strengthened in our spirit, and we need to exercise our spirit by calling on the Lord, by praying, by singing, by praising, by conversing with Him. There's various ways we can do this. They're not all outward. If we're on our job, we can't be shouting loud praises in the office. We need to be normal employees, but inwardly, in the depths of our being, we can be breathing and receiving the Spirit. Outwardly, we're working. Inwardly, we're breathing the Spirit. By breathing the Spirit, we're receiving the Spirit. How? Pray without ceasing. So let's be enlightened by the Word to be less religious, more organic, more living. Let's really end this particular season of fellowship on this program with a desire to actually receive the Spirit. What's the point of talking about receiving the Spirit if we don't receive the Spirit? I don't want to speak something mysterious. I'm certainly not boasting in anything. You wouldn't boast that you're breathing. I don't boast that I'm breathing. But while we've been fellowshipping, we have been receiving the Spirit. It's so simple, it's so normal. But we have been deprived for so long, so we need spiritual CPR. We need real resuscitation so that we can resume normal breathing and normal receiving to have just a normal Christian life. That's all we want.
Thank you, Brother Ron. I have appreciated and enjoyed our time together. I do want to mention quickly before we break away that the printed life study message that you and I have been fellowshipping over and in today is always available to our radio listeners as we bring this matter to them each day. We bind these together in volumes, about 200 pages, roughly 20 to 25 life study messages, and the one we have covered today is in volume number 2 of the Life Study of Galatians. Our toll-free number to get information about that or just to leave your comments or ask questions is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 543-3788. Remaining address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or you can send email to us to radio@lsm.org. Appreciate very much having you on today, and we didn't have Witness Lee's portion, but we'll have you back again very soon with one of our normal programs where we can again fellowship over our brother's portion.
I'm looking forward to that, Chris.
Very good. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening. I'm Chris Wilde. We hope you enjoyed this program. For more information on Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, please visit our website, lsm.org. Again, that's lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.